Hi, this is Garrison Hardy with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Thursday, May 12th, 2022. Have you guys signed up for our Cross Politic Liberty Tour show in Phoenix, Arizona? We're a week away at this point, and we'll be joined by political analyst Delano Squires, who's made appearances on the Tucker Carlson Show, and Jason Whitlock, just to name a few. You get the idea. He knows his stuff. And pastor and friend of the show, Pastor Jeff Durbin of Apologia Church, is also going to be joining us. What a crew. The show takes place May 19th, and tickets are only $20. So sign up right now at crosspolitic.com/libertytour. Again, that's crosspolitic.com/libertytour. So, as Pastor Toby mentioned in his news brief yesterday, in the wake of the Supreme Court opinions appearing to dismantle Roe v. Wade were leaked, protests erupted in Washington, D.C. outside a Supreme Court justice's homes. I'm sure you guys have seen the disturbing videos. Well, now the tables have turned as pro-abortion activists are protesting outside Nancy Pelosi's house, accusing her of being complicit in destroying abortion rights. Pro-abortion activists turned their vitriol on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and blamed her and the Democratic leadership for the expected overturn of the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. A small group of protesters demonstrated outside Pelosi's Palatial Mansion in San Francisco, California, on Tuesday. Video on social media showed a leader of the group vocalizing their fury.
We're here because Nancy Pelosi and the whole leadership of the Democratic Party has been complicit with the fascist Republican Party that wants to not only eliminate abortion rights, but gay marriage, trans rights, and a whole slew of rights.
Boo. Boy, those seven protesters were giving it their all, weren't they? My goodness. The protest appeared to be organized by a far-left pro-abortion group called Ruth Sent Us that demanded Pelosi investigate the Supreme Court justices in order to save abortion. Yes, save the right to murder children. Good grief. They accused her of being careless and cowardly in her leadership and blamed her for not doing enough to prevent Brett Kavanaugh from being nominated to the Supreme Court. The accusations against Pelosi paralleled those made against President Joe Biden by many on social media who accused him of not doing enough to protect abortion rights. Left-wing protesters have also targeted the homes of several members of the Supreme Court for protests, including those of Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, a Democrat, meanwhile, called on other Democrats to pass laws and file lawsuits at the state level to protect abortion ahead of the Roe v. Wade decision, expected to be made by the Supreme Court in several months. This is not the first time Pelosi's home has been targeted by left-wing protesters, actually, because back in January of 2021, protesters vandalized her home with graffiti and left a severed pig's head on her sidewalk. Where's the chocolate Knox with his Godfather impression when you need him? Well, isn't that just lovely? I'm sure that Nancy will spin a fine yarn about the Roe v. Wade situation. Now, I have a question for you. Did you know that more than 75% of those raised in evangelical Presbyterian and Reformed churches don't pursue any kind of Christian higher education? That's surprising, isn't it? Well, Cornerstone Work and Worldview Institute is seeking to provide a new, exciting, and affordable option for Christians. Their mission is to build kingdom culture in the workplace by equipping their students in a Trinitarian worldview and vocational competencies. Their low-cost, full-time program offers integrative course modules, internships, and mentoring so their students can finish debt-free, which is huge nowadays, with vocational preparation, a robust faith, and financial potential to build strong, godly families and homes rooted in their communities and churches long term. Visit their website at www.cornerstonework.org to find out more about enrolling. That's www.cornerstonework.org. FDA commissioner claims misinformation is now America's leading cause of death. even ahead of abortion, apparently. According to PJ Media, the leftist establishment is waging all-out war against the freedom of speech under the guise of combating what it claims is misinformation and disinformation. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton warned us against the supposedly rapid spreading scourge of disinformation, and just days later, Biden's Homeland Security Department unveiled its sinister Disinformation Governance Board. That sounds like something out of Harry Potter, with an ill-defined and shifting scope of responsibilities. The board, however, could be just the beginning. On SiriusXM's Doctor Radio Reports Friday, Food and Drug Administration, FDA, Commissioner Robert Califf said, quote, "I have been telling Congress that misinformation is the leading cause of death," end quote. Well then, by all means, we must outlaw it immediately. On CNN Saturday, Califf doubled down, again warning against misinformation in such apocalyptic terms that he appeared to be signaling that Biden's handlers are working on still more speech restrictions.
Why do you think misinformation is now the leading cause of death in the U.S.?
First of all, thanks for having me on, and I'm glad to be able to talk about such an important and critical topic. I have to acknowledge there's no way to quantify this, so I can't say, you know, the numbers come out just like we would heart disease or cancer. But let's look at it. You know, we're in a country now which is seeing an erosion in our life expectancy, so that we're now living on average 5 years shorter than the average of other high-income countries. Now, of course, these are all based on estimates, but this is quite disturbing. And as you correctly pointed out, let's look at the causes of death. As you correctly said, heart disease, cancer, COVID, much of this is common chronic disease that we know a lot about how to treat. And of course, with COVID, the situation is we know that if you're vaccinated and up to date with your vaccinations, you have a 90% reduction in the risk of death. And then if you are unlucky enough to get infected or unfortunate enough, another 90% reduction in death with the antivirals, which are now available. So almost no one in this country should be dying from COVID if we were up to date on our vaccinations and got appropriate antiviral treatment. What has concerned me for a long time before the pandemic is that we're seeing this reduction in life expectancy from common diseases like heart disease. I'm a cardiologist by training. Right. We know so much about what to do to prevent bad outcomes from heart disease. But somehow the messages, the reliable, truthful messages are not getting across, and it's being washed out by a lot of misinformation, which is leading people to make bad choices that are unfortunate for their health.
As you heard there, when he was asked to explain why he thought misinformation was the leading cause of death in America today, Califf immediately retreated, admitting that he had no data to establish his claim, and tactically admitting that it was just a leftist talking point. In short, the interview should have stopped right there. I have no data to support this next dumb thing I'm about to say. Oh, you have no data for this. Okay, end of discussion. Who is spreading misinformation here? That noted right-wing outlet, the New York Times, hint the sarcasm there, reported on February 28th about a new study that didn't quite agree with Califf's rosy picture of the vaccine's efficacy. As the Omicron variant surged, the Times stated, quote, "The vaccine's effectiveness against hospitalization declined to 73% from 85% in the older children. In the younger children, effectiveness dropped to 48% from 100%. But because few children were hospitalized, these estimates have wide margins of error. The numbers for protection from infection are more reliable. Vaccine effectiveness against infection in the older children decreased to 51% from 66%, but in the younger children, it dropped sharply to just 12% from 68%. Again, that is from the New York Times, an incredibly right-wing organization. But as far as Robert Califf is concerned, if we silence such inconvenient data and only allow the FDA's line to flood the airwaves, many lives will be saved. We'll be living in an authoritarian police state that silences dissenting views, but then again, when has the left ever been worried about that? Well, you should know, Ohio seems to be worried about stuff like this, as a bill has been presented that would ban Facebook and Twitter from censoring users Color me intrigued. According to Fox 8 News in Columbus, 1 year after YouTube removed from its site a video in which an Ohio attorney touted lies about COVID-19, so YouTube says, eight Republicans approved a bill to counter what they called big tech suppression of free speech. In an 8-4 vote Thursday, the Civil Justice Committee approved House Bill 441 to prohibit social media platforms from censoring expression based on a user's viewpoint, not including speech that's already deemed illegal under federal law, kind of like harassment or shouting fire in a crowded theater. There's already laws for that. So the bill joins an increasingly national discourse concerned with the uptick in social media sites deplatforming or restricting users, like, you know, the permanent suspension of President Donald Trump's Twitter account due to what Twitter says was an incitement of violence. Though, I'm sure we've all heard by now that Elon Musk said that he would reverse the ban on Trump, calling it immoral. Though, with him not being saved, what does he mean by immoral? Who says, anyways? By preventing big tech companies from continuing to engage in viewpoint discrimination, we hope to protect the free exchange of ideas and information in Ohio. That was from Representative Scott Wiggum of Worcester. He said this testimony before the Civil Justice Committee. While the bill does not equip the state with the power to enforce the censorship ban, it does allow individual Ohioans to file a civil suit against social media companies with more than 50 million U.S. users that block, remove, or restrict them from using their site. Or, here's an idea, you could take a break from social media entirely and become a subscriber to our Fight, Laugh, Feast magazine. Our Fight, Laugh, Feast magazine is a quarterly issue that packs a punch like a 21-year Belvini, no ice. We don't water down our scotch, why would we water down our theology, right? Order a yearly subscription for yourself and then send a couple yearly subscriptions to your friends who have been drinking lukewarm evangelical Kool-Aid. Every quarter we promise quality food for the soul, wine for the heart, and some Red Bull for turning over tables. Oh yeah. Our magazine will include cultural commentary, a psalm of the quarter, recipes for feasting, laughter sprinkled in throughout the glossy pages, and more. And more, folks. Sign up for your annual subscription at flfnetwork.com/product/Fight Laugh Feast Magazine. That's a lot of slashes. So again, it's flfnetwork.com/product/Fight Laugh Feast Magazine. Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins shared in secret NIH royalties totaling $350 million. My goodness, this according to a Watchdog report. Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins, among other bigwigs at the National Institutes for Health, reaped more than $350 million in secretive royalty payments from drug companies and other third parties over a 10-year period. Unbelievable. The report from, well, I suppose it is believable, but I digress. The report from OpenTheBooks.com said the royalty payments, including at least 23 to Fauci and 14 to his former boss, Collins, were paid out between 2010 and 2020. Government scientists got the payments for being credited as co-investors of various treatments and pharmaceutical products, according to the report. OpenTheBooks.com co-founder and CEO Adam Andrzejewski, I hope I got that right, in any case, said, quote, because those payments enrich the agency and its scientists, each and every royalty payment could be potential conflict of interest and needs disclosure. NIH is a revolving door of tens of billions of dollars in government grant making, coupled with hundreds of millions of dollars in private, non-transparent royalty payments, end quote. The report paints an incestuous picture of the NIH doling out $30 billion a year in grants to some 56,000 recipients in big pharma, research institutes, and other entities, with money flowing back to the secretive agency, scientists, and senior management in the form of a huge royalty payment. It is not yet known how much the payments to Fauci, who is the U.S. government's highest paid salary employee, by the way, at $456,000 totaled, is. In addition to his salary and whatever royalty payments he's received, Fauci last year won a $1 million prize from the Dan David Foundation for speaking truth to power. Yes, I'm sure. Collins, interestingly enough, resigned as NIH director in December after leading the agency for 12 years. Fauci is the longtime head of NIH's National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases, or NIAID, and also serves as chief medical advisor to President Joe Biden. OpenTheBooks.com made the $350 million estimate by extrapolating from documents received as part of a federal lawsuit against NIH. So far, the group has uncovered evidence of more than 22,100 royalty payments, totaling nearly $134 million paid from 2009 to 2014 to 1,700 NIH scientists. The group is awaiting another 1,800 pages of royalty disclosures, which would cover the period from 2015 to 2020. Under court order, the NIH has agreed to produce 300 pages a month, but insisted on producing documents related to Fauci last, sometime in November, according to Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch. Man, God is really exposing the rot of our nation, folks, right before our eyes. It is entertaining, to say the least. This has been your Cross Politic Daily News Brief. If you like the show, share it far and wide or become a club member so you know you'll always get notified about it as we seek to build out our Cross Politic army. And as always, if you'd like to discuss partnerships with Cross Politic, email me at garrison@fightlaughfeast.com. For Cross Politic News, I'm Garrison Hardy. Have a great day, and Lord bless.